Good evening. Thank you very much. I want to thank Ellie Nyman for bringing me in tonight. And of course, we always thank Cenk Weinman for setting up this entire share and for inviting me to learn Monday evening with such a distinguished group of people. As we always begin, we want to dedicate the share L'Zeicher L'Ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. Thank our sponsor. May his neshama have an aliyah. This week is Parshas Vayakhel. Very interesting parsha. Ordinarily, Parshas Vayakhel, we read it together, Vayakhel Pekudei. But this year, because it's a leap year, we only are going to read one parsha, Parshas Vayakhel. And this parsha mentions many topics, of course, Shabbos and the nations, the Beis HaMikdash, and it describes the actual building of the Mishkan. Parshas Truma, we learned about the instructions, the command to build the Mishkan. But in this parsha, we learn about the actual construction of the Mishkan. And there are many differences. There really are many significant differences between the way it is presented in Parshas Truma as to how it is presented in Parshas Vayakhel. I want to focus on one thing that is actually not mentioned in Parshas Truma, and that is the Kior. The Kior was a kishmari, and it was where the water was stored. And we have a halacha that the kohanim are required to wash their hands and feet together before they proceed to do any service in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for this is nothing more than a gezeiras hakasha. This is not to be confused with what we are accustomed to washing our hands before we eat bread. That's an entirely different reason. We wash our hands before we pray because maybe our hands are not clean. We do it for reasons that relate to teruma, that relate to strengthening the laws of the kohanim. The kohanim eat teruma. Even for that matter, even when Israel and they handle teruma, teruma is very sensitive. There are other reasons as to why we wash our hands before we eat bread, before we do mitzvahs. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it really would not be a need to wash one's hands because the person would not even enter into the Beis HaMikdash before he would go through the mikvah. He would be in a perfect state of purity. He would not need any reason to cleanse one's hands for any of the reasons why we do so today. And the reason the kohanim were required to wash their hands and feet is nothing more than a mitzvah that the Torah gave the kohanim, an additional degree of sanctity. Now, the kior was a massive, massive container which held the water. The water was fresh every day. It was drawn from the shilayach and the midbar. I would imagine the water miraculously was present from the Erech al Miriam, and the kohanim who did the avoda would wash their hands. This kli sharis, this utensil, is not mentioned in Parshas Truma with all of the other utensils. It's not even mentioned in Parshas Tetzav. The first time it appears is in Parshas Kisisa, after all of the instructions were given, after we learn about the Machzis HaShekel, and it stands out. It stands out as being something entirely different. And perhaps we can understand very simply the reason why it's different is because the Kiyar is not an object which we actually serve Hashem. It's not like the menorah, we light the candles. It's not like the Shulchan we put upon the table, the bread. It's not like the Mizbech which we offer upon it sacrifices. But it is a tool, it is an object that is used to prepare, to proceed and do the service. Now, Rashi, in this week's parasha, Parashas Vayakhel, provides an insight, a very interesting insight into the kior. The kior was made from copper mirrors that were provided by the women, the nashim. I'll read you the psukim here. Vayas es hakior nechoshes, v'eis kano nechoshes. And from where did Bezalel receive the raw material to fashion this utensil? B'marois hatsoi v'ois asher tzavu pesach ohel moed. With the mirrors that were collected in front of the Pesach ohel moed. Let me read Rashi for a bit more precision. Rashi says, B'marois hatsoi atsoi v'ois. Benois Yisrael, the Jewish women, they have in their possession maros, mirrors, sherois, bohen, which they would look at. They would look at themselves through them. Kishahein, miskashtois, when they would beautify themselves. The af oisim lo ikvu milahavi lenidras hamishkan. The women did not withhold these objects when it came time to give donations for the Mishkan. Just like we learned in the beginning of the parasha, the women, they brought rings, bracelets. There was an ornament called a kumar. mas, all different types of jewelry. They also gave their precious copper mirrors to the Mishkan. They actually once went to the Museum of Living Torah in Bar Park by Deutsch, and he had in his possession one of these mirrors that they believe actually came from that time. I mean, it's hard to imagine they could have something still left from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but he had something that was either very, very similar from later times. I'm not exactly sure what it was, and he showed us what it was. It's very, very heavy. When it is polished and refined, it really is it's a mirror. It's nothing less than a high-quality mirror. And the woman gave this material, and Rashi continues to tell us, Moshe, he was disgusted with these mirrors. Why? The mirrors were used for the Yetzer Hara. Rashi explains, Hashem says to Moshe, Kabel, even though the women, they use these mirrors to beautify themselves, so they should be attractive in the eyes of their husband. And Moshe felt, perhaps this is not appropriate for the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, we should use things that were not used in order to beautify oneself, to look beautiful in the eyes of their husbands. Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to accept these mirrors, and I want you to use them to fashion the kiyar. Ki elu chazivin olai minakol. In fact, Hashem said to Moshe, these are the most precious. Why? Sha'al yideihem hemidu hanashim tzivois rabois b'mitzrayim. It's through these mirrors that the Jewish people multiplied numerously in Egypt. And Rashi goes on to explain, kishahayu ba'aleihem yigiim ba'avodas perach, when their husbands were worn out from slave labor, their wives would go out into the field and would bring them food and drink. And the wives would bring with them to the field when they would feed their husbands, who were engaged in crushing labor. They would bring with them these mirrors, and they would stand behind the mirror, and they would look at each other. They would look at themselves. They would look at themselves through the mirrors, and they would have a conversation. Each woman would see herself with her husband in the mirror. And she would speak to her husband with pleasant words, saying, I am more beautiful than you. And through this technique, they would reconcile with one another, and it led to them having children, and the population of the Jewish people increased manyfold. Now, what in the world is going on here? What is happening over here? So I want to suggest the following principle. First of all, what's the difference between these mirrors and the jewelry? The jewelry were also objects which the women used to beautify themselves in the eyes of their husbands. And we don't find any conversation in Chazal about the jewelry. So the commentators explained that there's a very big difference. The jewelry that was used, that was given, was mixed with all of the other gold. It wasn't used specifically for one particular item. The mirrors were copper, and they were used exclusively for the kiyar, which means everything in the Mishkan, the raw material came from the men, the women. It was one big mix. And the men had a chalik, had a portion in every single item that was used in the Mishkan. But the kiyar was an object that was exclusively donated by the Nashim. It is something that only the women had a portion. The men who did the Avodah and washed their hands and feet, it was only men who were allowed to do the Avodah. But the object from which they would prepare was fashioned from something that was donated exclusively by the Nashim. And what did they do with this utensil? They would wash their hands and feet. They sanctified their hands and feet. Now let's explain. It says here in this Rashi that the women would come to the field, their husbands were tired, were weak, they were depressed, they did not want to go on. And the women provided them with food and drink, and they looked in the mirror, and they looked at each other. Each woman saw herself with her husband. Each husband likewise saw himself with his wife, and they had a conversation. And from that, they decided to go forward and have children. Who was the first one in the story of the Exodus that did exactly this? It was Miriam. Miriam, when Paro issued an edict, Kol ha-ben ha-yilad ha-ya-aret ha-shlichuhu, any male child that is born shall be thrown into the Nile. Amram, who was the Gadol Hadar, decided that it's not proper for Jewish people to continue to have children, to reproduce, because what's the purpose? The newborns will be murdered. Miriam said to her father, Amram, father, your gezerah is worse than Paro. Paro was only gezer, he only decreed an edict on the male children. Your edict is even worse. You are decreeing an edict on the females. And Miriam touched a chord in the heart of Amram. Miriam persuaded Amram, don't give up. It's not the time to give up. We have to continue, have emunah, go forward, be mispavel to Hashem, and continue. And Amram was affected by Miriam's words. And from that came Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we are, Jewish people. They continued in the time of the story of the Mitzrayim, where things got even worse, and they were all forced to slave labor to build peace under Ramses. And the women followed in the way of Miriam. They came forward to their husbands, who were exhausted and did not want to proceed. And they were mishtadel b'dvarim, using these mirrors. We have to go forward. We can't give in. We can't give up. The notion tzidkanios of that generation, they learned from Miriam how to have the fortitude, the emunah, to go forward, to move forward in life. Person moves forward with his hands and feet. Person travels. We travel through life. We don't stop. We go. March. When you march, you move with your feet. You work with your hands. You do. You travel. You engage this world with your hands and feet. In distance, in it's a metaphor, in moving forward and using, working and engaging in this world. Miriam, the Noshim learned from Miriam. The Kiyar is a reminder of the Noshim Tzidkanios of Mitzrayim, of Miriam, and all of the Noshim Tzidkanios who went, who followed in her way. We know that in the 40 years in the desert, the Jewish people had water. They had bread. They had the man, the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod came from the merit of Aaron. The man was in the merit of Moshe. The Mayim was in the merit of Miriam. What was the Kiyar filled with? Water. Where did the water come from in the desert? It was in the merit of Miriam. The Kiyar was fashioned by the Noshim Tzidkanios who followed in the ways of Miriam to persuade their husbands with the right words and the right care, the right way of speaking, the right deeds. Don't give up. Although we're suffering, although you're engaging in avodas, do not give up. The Kiyar is a product of that emunah that is unique to Miriam and all those that went in her way. It was only fashioned from the mirrors of the Noshim Tzidkanios. And it was filled with the water that Hashem provided the Jewish people in the desert in the merit of Miriam. Come into the Mishkan, what do you see? You see yourself. You see yourself in the mirror of the Kiyar. You see your husband. You see everything. You see the whole picture in the zechus of the Noshim Tzidkanios who enabled, encouraged, and inspired the Anoshim, the men, to continue. There's a partnership. Come to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, the avodah is to be done by the men. That's the halacha. That's what it says in the Torah. The men, not just the men, the very exclusive group. Only kohanim, only of a certain age. Only kohanim that are not baalim women. It's a very limited group. But in the center of the Mishkan is a massive kiyar. A massive kiyar that radiates with a beauty of copper, polished copper, which radiates as one large mirror where everything can be seen in one view. The cornerstone of Judaism is the Noshim Tzidkanios who enable, encourage, and inspire. It was interesting that the Mishkan, we know in the Mishkan exactly what the floor was made out of and what height of the ceiling. In the Mishkan was in the desert for 40 years. The Pasuk tells us that the floor of the Mishkan was the earth. In Parshat Sot, it says that the Kohen shall take from the earth the Karka HaMishkan. It was earth. The height of the Mishkan was exactly 10 amos. In the Bayis Rishon, we know what the floor was made out of, and we know what the height of the ceiling was. The height of the ceiling in the Kodesh was 30 amos tall. In the Kodesh HaKodashim, it was 20 amos. The floor, says in the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim, it was wood and gold. Shlomo HaMelech, he covered the floor.
floor of the Beis HaMikdash with a combination of wood, a special type of wood, and gold. We know that in the Bayis Sheni, the height of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 40 amos tall. The floor was stone, marble, shayosh. That's what it says in the Mishnayos. But what about the Bayis Shlishi? We know a lot about the architecture of the Bayis Shlishi, quite a bit. Extremely difficult psukim telling us what the Bayis Shlishi looked like. But in the Bayis Shlishi, it doesn't say anywhere what the floor is made from. Is the floor going to be earth? Will it be piles of marble? Will it be wood, gold? Doesn't say anywhere. And it doesn't say anywhere in Sefer Yecheskel regarding the Bayis Shlishi, the height of the ceiling of the Bayis Shlishi. It's a mystery. We will find out when we witness the rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi. When the women came to bring this material, the Targum, the end of Targum, Uncle says that Noshim HaShetzavu, the women who came to bring, it says the women who came to pray. They came to Davin. He translates the word Savu as to pray. In ancient times, when a person would pray, we don't do this today, they would raise their hands high, lift up their hands, similar to the Kohanim. And when you come to Davin, you have to go to Davin. There are psukim which tell us that David HaMelech says that my feet, they bring me to the Beis Medrash, they bring me to a place to serve Hashem. When a person davens, the Kohanim, when they daven, they duchen, then now they wear shoes. When you come to the Harbayis, Shal Nilecha Miel Raglecha, you lift up your hands, Esa Enai, Esa Kapai, you have to lift up your hands. When the Kohen does Avodah, when he comes to Davin, when he comes over, he has to wash his hands and his feet, his hands and feet together from the water of the Kiyar. The legs are the lowest portion, and the hands, when they're raised in prayer, they're the highest level. Do Avodah, Yidavin, Kohanim, do the Siyas Kapayim, they bless the Jewish people, Birchas Kohanim, they raise their hands. The vertical position where their feet are anchored on the ground, and their hands are raised high. The ground to Shemayim. The only two things that we don't know, what their height, the height and what the floor will look like. The Kiyar is the only klisharis for which the Torah does not give any dimensions. The Aron, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, the Menorah, everything is defined in utter detail, in great detail, but the Kiyar, there is no definition as to its dimensions. All of these things go together. The power of the Noshim, Tzidkaniyos, is unlimited. It's unlimited. There are no dimensions. It's infinite. It's in their hands to make from their power whatever they wish. Their influence and their power is in their hands. The Kiyar represented the inspiration of Miriam to Amram, from which the Noshim Tzidkaniyos followed and inspired their husbands to create a nation that was precious before Hashem. As Rashi says, this is more precious than everything else. And this, there's no limit. There are no dimensions. There are no measurements. There are no shiurim. From this Kiyar, the Kohanim would wash their hands and their feet, the vertical endpoints of a servant of Hashem. The Mikdash is just a marshal for an Oyved Hashem, a human being. There are many different parts of the Mishkan, the Mikdash, that are described in expressions that resemble the body of a human being. And the height and the depth are not defined. They're not defined in the ultimate Bayis Shlishi, just as the Kiyor is not defined in measure in the Mishkan. Just as the inspiration of the Noshim Tzidkaniyos is something which cannot be defined. It's something which is beyond measure. May we learn from this to take advantage of our relationships with others, to inspire, to enable, and to be instrumental in achieving an exalted level of inspiration where we will witness the coming of Mashiach, the building of the Bayis Shlishi, with dimensions that can only be comprehended through the understanding, the inspiration that the Noshim Tzidkaniyos can bring upon Klal Yisrael. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week and all the best to everyone here. Good night.